support you. I mean, they supported Christ, didn't they? They supported Hitler, didn't they? See? Look at the support he got. That was a strange experience for man. You see? So the worst or the best can get support. You must choose by self-mastery what you want to support. Because when you're at self-mastery, you're above all these other kingdoms. You're above the physical, emotional, the mental, the psychic, and the creative level. You're the master of those things. They're not mastering you now, and you don't think that you are them when they're coming and going. You know you're the master, and you're experiencing them, and you can experience their comings and goings, and it's okay. But don't be bound in it. See? You must come to freedom, the violet that's in the third eye, freedom, unity, feeling one with all things that's in there. You must come with truth to come to the inner kingdom and see the inner kingdom. Because if you're not seeing truth, how can you see the aura? Because it is the truth. It's exactly what is going on there. Exactly, precisely. With no variations. The light is perfectly reflecting. It never loses its 186,000 miles per second. It only travels in shorter or broader distances. In steeper and deeper waves. All these little particles in the waves moving of light. You can be bound in the valleys or the peaks. See, it can be a valley of darkness or the peak of illumination. And how many times have you faded in and out of something? You had it. Oh, this is great. Wow. Man, if I could only keep this moment forever. What's that? The phone's ringing? Can't you see I'm having a... Oh, they want what? Well, tell them, what do you mean they want to talk to me right now? Can't they see I'm going... I mean... I wonder how I can get back. Anxiety. Do you hear? That's anxiety, isn't it? You've been there. You have to overcome the anxieties. I'm not there. It's not going. You see, you're going up and falling down. Going up and falling down. See? That's what happens. You start looking at that low stuff. And you got to look at the high stuff, then you look at the low, then you look at the high, and you keep looking back and forth, you're full of anxiety. You say, it could be so great, but it's so rotten. I could have been a success, but I'm a rotten failure. I succeeded, but I could have failed. See? And we throw ourselves up and down the valleys, don't we? See? And we don't see clearly the rays of light as they're coming to us, we start waving from our point of view. So you can see how important it is to clear your mind, at least have a clear channel, a crystal ray that goes through the mind that you can look through, look into the crystal. You're not going to stop all the other things of mind. Just let them do what they're doing. They're always going to be doing those things. They always did those things. You see? Everything's been going on. I mean, anger's always been going on. You read the earliest Sanskrit of 20,000 years ago, and they got wars and they're fighting, and they got anger, and they got loves, and they got hates, and they got stealing, and they got murdering, and they've got lying, and they've got cheating, and they've got all that stuff. We're going to be facing it all the time. That's this planet. That's what we're looking at here. But you can pay attention to the death side, or you can pay attention to the life side of things. Keep an up gaze, raise your gaze, raise your gaze. Don't look down in those things. What do you mean? Okay. All of those things will distort the point of view so that you cannot see clearly. Remember, you must be balanced between heaven and earth. You are the one that is standing between heaven and earth. I was studying the Tao, and I said to him, where's man? He says, man stands between heaven and earth. Do you think man is a body? Well, there is two forms of man on this planet. There's only two forms of man on this planet. There's only two forms of man on this planet. Did you know that? One is called male and one is called female. And God made man, he made them both, male and female. He made man. He made them both, male and female. One has the womb. And so there's the wombed man, and then there's the man that doesn't have the womb. And the wombed man shall carry the future of the race. And so when the woman is born, she has all the seeds of every baby she will ever have in her already. There are no new ones created. They were given when you were brought here. There'll be no new ones made. And one will drop, one of these eggs will drop every month. You see? And so you have a perpetual birth going on in the human race, because the wombed man carries the seeds of the race. And it's the man that said, what'd you give me that apple for? Look what you got us into. It's all your fault. And from now on, you're second rate. I was here first anyway. I don't care if he took you out of my side to be at my side. I'm saying I'm over you because you blew it, baby. Besides, my father said I'm the man. I saw you cry, so you couldn't be very strong. Bully. That's what we do, don't we? And say, well, I'm a woman, and I'm supposed to act like a woman. You know, the woman's supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do this, and that, and that, and this. And I'll even be passive like this, and I'll talk different.
And I'll talk like the man, and we'll play these. I'll be the man, you be the woman.
Okay, I'll be the woman. Yes, dear. How can I control this guy? Man, he's really dominant.
She just does whatever I say. I don't have any respect for her.
You hear that? That's the way the separation started. There's only two kinds of man on this planet, male and female. There's not black and yellow and red and orange and all that we see. Tans and olives, and that's not it. There's two, male and female. See, that's it. And they're equal. When God spoke to the man, he spoke to the woman. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to speak to Adam now. Would you leave the garden? This is something between us men. There's no mother God. I mean, there's only the father up here, so, you know, I'm the one in charge.
You ever hear that one? Yeah, suddenly doing that one, you know. You're going to look from whatever way you've been taught spiritually. You may have something in a religious structure that you have practiced and said, you're not allowed to see that. That's wrong. Don't look at that. That was only when the saints were around. They got nice lights around them. Moses' face was so brilliant with his aura, they had to put a veil on it after he went to see God. Did you know that? They veiled his face. He had so much light shining out of them, they had to veil a face because people couldn't look into that light. Isn't that something? I'm at this ashram in India, and I'm watching this master go around to the people, and guess what? I'm sitting down so I couldn't see him, but glowing over top of him, and glowing as he moved around was his light, his aura. It's glowing there, and I'm watching the light go around. This guy next to me, he says, "Can you see Baba's light?" I said, "Yes." He goes, he's excited because he could see it too. And we started talking to people there, and most of the people saw it. But if we would have never mentioned it, they would have never paid attention to bring it to consciousness. And it would have been something subtlety, and they would have walked away, and they would have forgot about the light. You see? Your light is affecting others. And when you step into their aura, or they step into your aura, there's a change of the light. Once I was an enlisted men's club manager for the Naval Exchange System, Alameda, California. And I run the enlisted men's club called the White Hat Club. And I want to tell you something. When the Enterprise and the Bulldog are in at the same time, watch out. And then if one of the other aircraft carriers come in too, and all these guys are at the club at the same time because their ship is the best, they get in arguments about it. And we used to see them. They're over there arguing. They're about to hit one another. And you go over there and try to break it up, and you get hit. You stepped into their aura. But if you stand off the side, you can watch without getting involved. But I'd watch people before they even got there. They had their aura on that other, those other people. And next thing you know, those two were turning on him. You get 500 people in there, they could wipe out the place. In one time, they did in Midway. The guys that were from one ship were up in the balconies, and the guys that were from another ship were down on the main floor. And the guys in the upper balcony threw all the furniture on the guys that was on the main floor, and bottles and everything. They just destroyed their whole club. One set off another one and set off another one. Next thing you know, there was mass pandemonium because no one was self-mastered. That's how mass hangings take place and all that. There's no self-master there. Someone ticks it off and everybody else gets infected by the vibration. Well, that's the negative way. But now you come to a nice class like this, you associate with spiritual people, you learn about spiritual things, and that aura rubs off on you. See, so everybody here is benefiting you today. We're all one. We're all adding to each other's life right now. You see that oneness? You must look from the oneness instead of the isolation. Because if you don't have a response, you're going to go with whatever's responding. A master uses discipline to have response. And so when he looks out there and he says, "I'm going to practice holding my hand in front of me and looking at my hand. And then I'm going to move my hand and continue to look in that same space. And when my mind drifts, I'll put my hand back there and bring it back to that space so I can be fixed on this space right here and not go through to the wall." Now, why would you even practice a discipline like that? So you can stop from looking through the auras. Most of you are looking right through them at the physical. Most of you look right through it to the physical. And when you're on fixed and open, when I'm looking at my hand, I'm aware of the whole room. When I'm looking at one point, I can see everything. But if I look at one person, others start fading out. But if I look at the whole room, I can see everything. And I can see my hands over here. I can see my hands out here. And I can see my hands back here. And I can watch my hands. And that's how you expand your sight around you. Watch your hands. Watch your hands with your mind. Watch with your mind instead of the senses that your mind sees through. Get closer to the scene. By looking with the mind, you are closer to the scene. When you look with the mind, you're closer to the scene, because if you use the eyes, it's the mind that looks through the eyes, so now you have another qualifier. And everything you look through then is qualifying. And the closer you can get to self-perception, self-consciousness, the clearer you will see. When you withdraw your attention to where you are only aware that you are aware, you are pure self-conscious life. When you're conscious of the self and there's nothing else. When you are absorbed in yourself. When you have complete absorption. That's a practice to be detached and to clear. To clear yourself from the entanglements of the mind, to clear yourself with the entanglements of emotions and objects and all of those things. If you have a heavy business day, you better watch out. You'll clear that right off too. You better write it down before you do your exercise. That's what you do in business. You write it down. Because people that practice spiritual things, they go, oops, I was supposed to do that at a certain time. I knew I had to do it. I never left my mind. But they missed the time because in that right brain, we are not dealing with time. And so we may have great ideas and all the powers and all this, but we'll miss the time if we don't have a balance in the third eye. See, one side is dealing with time and space and circumstance. The other is timelessness, spacelessness, and freedom. Freedom. And you must have a balance between heaven and earth. What is real and what is unreal? What is truth and what is untruth? You have to know what is real and what is unreal. What was real? You are real. I told you what was not real. The world of appearances. This is the world of appearances. And it's only a reflection of mind. You know what an image is? Well, read in the dictionary, it says an image is a thought picture. Then we're built in the thought pictures of God. He thought us up. Boy, what a wonderful thinker. Praise God, what a creator. He thought us up and manifested us. All these systems working together. I mean, it's amazing. The bones, that we're trying to build robots now. We're trying to play God, you know. Some people are doing that. Some scientists are in there. They're not wanting to help mankind. I know one guy, he wants to build a robot. It's a perfect woman. See? He says she's perfect because she won't spend any money. And she'll do whatever I say. I says, that's what you want, a robot. You don't want a woman. But that's his whole object of study. I want it to be just like a woman. I'm going to make this robot. Isn't that something? To fulfill his ego. A lot of people are using their creativeness and their insights and their powers to fulfill their ego. If you are trying to satisfy the ego, you won't see. If you're trying to satisfy your ego, you won't see. But if you're trying to satisfy yourself, you will see. Do you understand that? The ego is a play of consciousness with matter and with mind. It's a play of consciousness. It's only a reflection of yourself. And it is the self that sees, and we're opening this rainbow eye to see in all the levels. Physical plane, the emotional plane, the mental plane. I mean, we can look at an old emotion. When you were having a good time on your birthday, remember that, or was it a bad time? Somebody just went, ooh. Well, think of a happy day. You had a lousy birthday, you were all alone, I'm sorry. Okay, let's go on. Someone's getting on that. Let's get off that one. We'll get on to, well, how about Christmas? Oh, no presents. All right, well then, find a happy day. See? Oh, here, how about right now? See that? Here we are. Now that's the only one that you can really touch, can you? That's the only one you're touching and you're experiencing right now, is this one right now, see? But if you go back there, it's only a reflection. It isn't the real. What is real is the moment, the presence, the presence, the presence, the presence. What you're in presently, that's real. All the rest is illusion. What you are present in is your reality. And some people can be present in one thing and some are present in another, and that's their reality. They're present in the dance and some people aren't present in the dance. Some are present in the singing and some aren't present in the singing. Some are present in the management and some aren't present in management. You see? Some are present in relationships and some aren't present in relationships. They're wandering in the past. Why this old flame, and you better not be like her. You're doing something like, now you better change. I mean, it's too much like the past. And we try to train people. You're acting just like my mother acted, sweetheart. That's why I left home. When'd you leave home? I was 33. Finally got tired of it. That's when I met you. They had their parents who would have left earlier. You see. Then you talk to them a little later and how much they love them. See this love-hate game that's played out here. When the true self is all-pervading and all-accepting and all, you see all things. And the more you can be your true self, the more you see clearly. The more you're the true self and not the reflection's ego, then the more clearly that you see and the more life you have and the more experience you have and the more abundance of all good things, because it's the ego it clings and not the self. The self is flowing through prosperity. It's flowing through prosperity. It's the ego that gets trapped in all these things. But all it wants, I want this, I want that, and then they got to pay. I mean, there's no free lunches, I'll tell you. There's no silver platters. We're not going to give this to you on a silver platter. You're going to have to work to change the momentum of your energies. You're going to have to work to speed up that light. And any time you make a change, it takes effort. Great effort for great change. Little efforts for little change. Great effort. Great effort to get it going. If you have an automobile and it's stalled and you go to push the automobile, boy, you're out there going, and a half a dozen people come up and they start helping you push it. Now, when I was young, I've run out of gas a lot, so this is why I'm using this illustration. I know about you guys. And most of the time I knew I was going to run out, but I wanted to get to so-and-so's house because I knew they had money. They would put some gas in. And I just love riding in the car. He said, would you like to go for a ride? You got some money for gas? I'd make sure I saved a little bit extra. Got to pay for their trip. I'd save a little gas extra for me. We put in a half a tank, I'd ride around with them for a quarter, and I'd have a quarter for me. See? I remember that. But sometimes I used to run on, I'd say, hey, give me a hand here. And I'd start pushing, and we'd all get this thing going. And I'd be pushing the thing along like this, and we'd be going pretty soon. I'd notice someone dropped off. We'd get another block and a couple more drop. Pretty soon I'm there pushing it myself because I had to go over four or five blocks. They thought we just wanted to get it over to the curb. I'd say, come on. Say, what's he doing, man? I ain't push his sucker. It's his car. And push it himself. That's the way they talked in Oakland, California. Do it yourself. Fool, run out of gas. And leave you. Let's see. I'd be pushing that car. But to get it going, it took great effort. But once it got going, boy, I could get it. I could keep it going. And I knew when I was coming to a little bump or something, I'd have to give more effort, and then I could lighten up when it was going down the other side. And sometimes I get to the hill and I jump in and I'd be coasting. And then I'd be going, oh no, I got to get over this. I get just up on that hill, man, almost to stop. I jump out there and push that thing again. Get that thing. I could go blocks and blocks, I'll tell you. Sometimes I had to go that far just to get some gas. Be pushing the gas station. As I was coming towards the gas station, I'd be, help, hey, over here. People would be running out there and help me up over the curb, you know, in that driveway and up there. Thanks. That's what it takes, great effort to get it going. But once you get it going, it doesn't take so much effort. You can keep your ball rolling once you get it rolling, but it takes a lot to get it off the ground, get it rolling, you see? And so when you decide, I'm going to be a clairvoyant and I'm going to open my third eye, you be prepared to give great effort. You just thought this isn't something you just do today because this is today, and then tomorrow you're going to do something else. Next day you're going to do something else. You have to say, this is important. It's what you made important to you that you are holding by your paying attention to it. Whether you wanted to pay attention or not isn't the question. You did pay attention and it became important. If you're paying attention to your bills all the time, they become very important to you. And if you pay attention to your loved one all the time, it becomes very important to you. And if you pay attention to God, God becomes very important to you. And if you pay attention to your supernatural powers, they become important. And then your will and your desire will go out and bring you the person, places, and things. You'll either be taken there or those people will come to you. Because as soon as you hold the image here and you are steady and you're confident and you believe and you hold that image solid, in love, in wisdom, and in truth, in unity, in freedom, in purity. When you hold that image there in that manner, it will come to you. You know, a lot of you have stopped short of your goals. A lot of you have stopped short of getting what you wanted to do because you left the image and started looking at something else. Throw down all images, all graven images. All idols, throw them all down. That's what that is. You got to throw them out of the third eye. Well, every time I close my eyes, all I see is... Some of them really get me. I say, is that all? But he's everything. These guys, I'll be going around the ashrams and things like that. And everyone, I mean, that's their Baba, that's their Father, that's their God. They got the image up there. Oh, all I see is Baba up here. And my whole eye, that's all there is. I say, well, why don't you look on the other side? Why don't you look through? You're going to find God over there. Oh, that is God. I says, yes, and so are you. But why don't you go through and see all of God instead of the reflections of God? Why don't you throw down that image?
You don't love Baba, I just know you don't. You'd see him all the time.
Like little kids we get, huh?
Well, if you don't like it, you can leave. I'll take my ball and go home.
The same game. Well, if you don't like the master I've chosen, well, I'll just take my master and you can go home. Is it any different? Still a little kid's game, isn't it? And some are playing the kid's game when they grow up.
Teacher, 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 teacher. Mommy, 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 mommy. Honey, 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 honey.
Same game, right?
Honey. God, 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 God.
Same cry. Same crying. Same system. When I was a child, I did things as a child. Now that I'm an adult, I give up the childish ways. You have to tell your subconscious mind, you have to tell your psyche, I no longer want to play these games. And when they come up, you say, at the point of realization, you say, stop. If you realize it just before you go to act it out, you stop it there. If you're in the middle of acting it out, you stop it there. Some people don't want to stop it there. They say, gee, if I stop it there and change in front of this person, they'll think I'm not in control, so I'll just be out of control and let it go. That's what they do. Then they go, gee, I shouldn't have did that. I knew better than to do that. Bang, bang, bang. Critical, critical, critical. They get critical on themselves, shaking the finger at themselves. Now, don't you do that now. You don't do that now. You're not supposed to do that. You know that. Right? We're all going to be tempted by the same energies. I mean, read the scriptures 20,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Read the scriptures 1,500 years ago. Read the scriptures. They are telling you something. That we're all going to face these things and we can transcend them all by realizing who we are. And when you realize something, that is the moment of change. And if it's after you experienced it, then you change it then. As soon as it comes to your consciousness that you are not going in the way you want to go, you say, now is the time of change. We had this practice, and I was in Buddhist meditation, and the practice was peace. We had to practice peace. So we went into our meditation, we merged with peace. And then when we were in peace, we had to open our eyes and get up and start walking. And if peace left us, we had to sit down and meditate and rejoin with peace before we could move again. And the only thing that moved us was peace. I am moved by peace, I am supported by peace, peace gives me my life, peace is all, I am peace. You see, and that was the statement. And so every time you lose the peace, you had to sit down again and reassociate with peace. Wherever you're at. I've seen them crossing streets and sit down in the middle of the street and the ox carts go around them and the people and bicycles go around them, little cushion right around the guy sitting there. And he stands up and he's walking in peace and gets over the sidewalk and sits down. Walks a couple steps and sits down. Walks a couple steps and sits down. Then he'll be walking for a long time. Then all of a sudden he'll sit down again. See, I wanted to see how somebody else did it. So I was watching. Use the old observation. But then I got into it myself. I was in unity with peace. And I began to practice myself. Then I realized that's with any practice. I says, why stop at peace? I think I'll do that to be with God. And every time I lose God consciousness, I'll stop everything. Till I'm in God consciousness again, then I live in God consciousness. I am supported by the light. I live in the light. I love the light. I am the light of God's consciousness. Walk in that. That's how you practice. It's called discipline. And you say, I want to see auras. And you keep gazing. If you don't see them, say, oh, guess I'm not supposed to see auras. Or you go, gee, I don't have enough training. The little kids don't have any training. It's natural. You must understand, it's natural to see auras. It's not natural not to see auras for the humans, because we fell from the light, you see. And now we're returning to the light. We're returning to the light, and so we're opening our rainbow eyes, and we're beginning to see auras and prana and life force and the angels that are walking around with us and the masters that are walking around with us and the Spirit of God among the people, where sight is coming up again. And we'll be walking with the Spirit of God. We'll be in the people, and we'll be greeting each other in the Spirit of God, and we'll know each other, and there'll be no separation. That's where the human race is going. You see, back to the Godhead, back to God, back to God, you see. And so our sight is getting stronger and better and more luminous and growing, and the world will change. But you can't wait for the world. You're the leader. You're the leader right in here. You're the leader. You're the one that God has sent here. And you're going to change a lot of lives, or you wouldn't be here. Because I said, God, don't send me anybody that is going to waste my time. I said, don't send anyone to any of these important classes like this that is not there to get it and has not been praying for it. All of you have been praying for it. All of you have been praying for your auric sight in that. You wouldn't be here. See, I'm the master who comes through those doors. I'm the master who comes to the class. And so I say, come, those of God, those that want the supernatural powers, come, let me bestow these gifts. And so you've prayed for it, you've asked for it, so here we are. And here it is. It's yours. You take it now. It's yours. It's yours. God is answering you. How does God answer prayer? 98% of the time, He's answering it through people. He answers it through people. He puts you in circumstance with it. He puts you in that position. He doesn't say, these are the words of your answer. He gives you experiential knowledge. If you say, oh God, give me patience, He'll put you in a situation where you have to give patience. What you're asking for, He'll put you in a situation to give away so that you have it in your heart as experience, experiential knowledge and understanding. You see? And you might be wondering why you've gone through certain experiences. You might be wanting the normal people to accept you. That's the truth. You might be wanting that world of normal people out there to accept you, and you may be doing that so much that you have blocked your spiritual powers. But the urge in you and the longing in you has been praying, give them to me, God. Thank you for this power. Thank you for my clairaudio. Thank you for my clairvoyance. Thank you for perception. Thank you for healing grace. Thank you for teaching abilities. Thank you for ministering power. Thank you for me being a God person. Thank you for love and truth and wisdom and purity and perfection. Thank you, God, for all these things. And in our thanks, we receive. And in our praise, we receive. Praise you, God. In our love, we receive. I love you, God. And we love God, and we praise God, and we give to God all the glory, that we may live in the light. And then we make statements, I am light. I am light and energy emanating in eternity. Can you be it? There's no time. When you're moving across this record, there's a no time consciousness. You can expand to see just a little part of this record or a whole cycle. You can look at a whole cycle all at once. You can see what brought you that particular condition that you have with your rainbow eye. You can see the whole cycle all at once by broadening your point of view, just like we did when we opened up our peripheral vision and looked at everybody in the room. But if you want specifics, you have to look directly at someone to get specifics. But if you want universal power, you look out here. Even in this broad point of view, you can see that there are individuals sitting here, that they're not all alike. You see? And if someone moves their hand or scratches their head or rubs their eye or sets up or sets back or moves from side to side, every movement is seen when you are gazing. The third eye is open to the subtler vibrations through gazing, not staring. Staring is looking. Gazing is seeing. Gazing is seeing. It unfixes the mind and lets it perceive all that the eye can take in. Over the sides, the front, the top, the bottom, everything. You see, it has that roundness to it, you see, and it picks up in all directions. It's very interesting. The chameleon's eyes look out the side, but they see all the way around. Our eyes look forward, so we only see forward. But the chameleons can see 360 degrees. Did you know that? Because of their eyes. And a lot of fish do too. See, because of the way their eyes are shaped and they're looking out the side. See? Your mind can look out the side, or it can look out the front, or it can look out the back, or look out the top, or look out the bottom, or look at any angle in between. You can have any angle of perception you want from this point of view you're at. When you say, I am a child of God, and you're looking from that point of view, then you're not bound by the things of the earth. You're bound by the laws of God. God's laws supersede all other laws. And when you're with God's laws instead of your laws and man's laws, see, parental laws, see, parental laws in there, in your consciousness, social laws in your consciousness, man's laws in your consciousness, you have all these things in your consciousness, but you are not these things. That tells you how that plane works. That's man's wisdom or parental wisdom or social wisdoms, you see. Good or bad, on the black side or the white side, good or bad, see, on the side of darkness or on the side of light. We're talking about spirit, we're not talking about people. Some try to take it down to people. Keep heavenly things heavenly, and keep earthly things earthly to keep your vision clear, and keep your eyes pure. Keep your eye on the final goal, God. God is the goal. God is the goal. The gift of sight will be given to you. The gift of sight. The gift. It's not work, it's a gift. Let me see how I'm going to think about getting this gift. I got to think it over. Do I deserve the gift? I wonder what I'm going to have to pay for this gift if I buy this gift. How much did you have to pay for your birthday presents? You just gave them to you, didn't you? I mean, somebody gives you a birthday present, you say, how much does this cost? I got to give you the money for it. Let me see. No, you just take the gift and you say, thank you. They give you a Christmas present. You say, thank you. They give you a housewarming present. You say, thank you. Well, when God gives you this gift, why don't you just say, thank you, God? And then let yourself unfold. Now, I'll tell you, you may have been blind because your pineal gland and pituitary glands have atrophied because of lack of use. These two glands in the brain excrete the chemicals on the brain that heightens light perception. An LSD out of the an acid that comes out of the pineal gland, which chemists have taken isolated and give large doses of to people. But your brain, that's being made in your brain already. You concentrate on that and it will heighten the consciousness and you can turn it on or off. But if you take the drug, you can't turn it off and on. That's why drugs are bad. They take away your control. They have dominating spirits that dominate over you. The alcohol demon. See, the opium demon. Peyote demon. The mushroom demon. The LSD demons. All of that. Those things take dominion over you. There were cultures that gave those things to open your third eye, to get you off your fixed position. That's what the whole thing was, to show you there was another alternative. But some get so hung up on wanting the other alternative that they have to have that all the time. And that's only a contrived reflection. It's not a freed reflection. It's a fixed image, and it'll bind you in a fixed image. Sugar's a drug. Caffeine's a drug, and they can bind you too to acting out of them. See? So when you are working for purification of your senses so that your third eye can open, why do you think you do that? To become more sensitive, you cut out all of these things that bind your attention. I mean, if you have cravings for food, then that particular food you should cut out for a while, because that means it's got dominion over you instead of you having dominion over it. And anything that takes and says, you have to have me, will stop. If your breath says, you have to have me, stop your breath for a while. Take command. It's your breath. You can stop or let it go. Some things you can stop longer than others, but you can stop them all. And in that moment, you will see that you are not them, but the one that has controlled them. You are the master of the senses. You are the master of sensations. You're the master of your thoughts. You're the master of your knowledge. You're the master of consciousness. You are God expressing. God expressing. And you want to see as God sees. Okay. Now what I would like to do before we go into this afternoon's session, which will be more child of God, yeah. It's the original childlike love. But see, you enter the kingdom in childlike love and you mature in the kingdom. You're not supposed to stay a baby in the kingdom. You're supposed to grow up. And when you grow up, you go out and help your brothers and sisters. See? But pink in an adult's personality is immaturity. In a child's personality is perfect. That innocence, that pink of love. See? But when you get older, instead of it going down towards a dark red by passions, you put some spirit in it, some freedom of the spirit in it, and that raises it to a rose-colored love. See? And we usually say rose-colored pink. You see? Rose pink. So that you have that spiritual aspect of the love. Because if you leave spirit out of love, then it can get old and you get tired of it. Yeah. Again. Yes.
In regards to sexuality.
Yes.
Said the idea was, or at least how I heard you say this, was to go in and up.
Yeah.
Rather than down and out. Down
right.
And being, expressing the sexuality.
Just going out. And practice with your mate if you're married. And if you're married and you're practicing with your mate, that's love. If you're not married and you're practicing with some person, that's called fornication. It's not sanctioned. And what you're doing is you're creating an entity and not being responsible for it. Because when two people come together, they create another entity. They create another power. Whether it comes into a body or not, the embodiment of their love, the child, they still create an entity on another dimension, a mixture of mind and of emotions and of consciousness that runs around on the inner planes. And if those people aren't responsible for it, then it's trying to find its way into something else, and it tries to enter other people and antagonizes the rest of the race, you see. So you can make disincarnates running all over the place, and there's a lot of them now, and they go over and say, it's okay to have love with someone that you're just going to meet one night. I mean, then, you know, you don't have to have any responsibilities or anything. You could be free, and I can run around and do whatever I want to do. That's what that spirit will do. But it's not a real spirit. It dies, you see. So you're creating things that have eternal life. They're dying. And so that's why you don't create outside of the agreement between a man and a woman and a neutral person, a trinity. A trinity puts it together. Two people can't put it together. They have to have a neutral party. Male and female and neutral. And the minister or the priest stands as the neutral one. You see? So two people can't agree we're married without the neutral party. See, they have to have the other witness to ground it to earth. Otherwise, it can always go one way or another. They can say, well, I'm done with the agreement. See? If they have another binding force, that binds it and lifts it up to a higher level, you see. So the Trinity is what forms a marriage. A Trinity, not two people standing in a field saying, now we're going to be married. How dumb. They don't know what's going on. And they're ignorant. They know that this is the way it's always done, but they want to do it different because they're independent and we're new. Well, everyone that's created that kind of energy has had a lot of problems. And it brings more suffering than it does happiness. And so the truth is that you must have commitment to unity and get off your personal positions to be in a relationship. And if you can't do that, then you get bound up in the root chakra trying to get charged by every one. And then you go down and out, down and out, and down and out. So as you send this energy up, the kundalini starts rising, the fluid in the nervous spine that is trapped in the base chakra. It is released out of the five cochlear bones where it lays within sleeping. And it's like coiled snake. And so then that energy starts rising and waving up the spine. You feel it like a heat in the spine. Instead of the heat in the sexual organs going outward, then it goes upwards and up into the body and up into the head area. Then the two join together and they leave the body together and go into God. You see, that's the relationship. And so the two flesh become as one flesh. At one point, their hearts are beating together, their consciousnesses together, their open mind to each other, their hearts are open to each other, they're feeling for the other, and the other's feeling for them, and their bodies are one, and then they climax in a burst of light and energy and lift to God together. But it's been lost, that kind of love, and it doesn't get much above the belt line. And so it's a dominating of somebody's will over another one. I'm going to make them tonight. You know. Someone going on, and some are going on, I'm going to be made. Some are going on, I'm going to make. I mean, if there was nobody going to want to make, then there would be nobody wanting to be made. But one has to satisfy the other. They're like two hands. If you have a fear that someone's going to beat you up, someone's looking for somebody to beat up, they'll come and beat you up. See, divine harmony. It's perfect. Because you're getting fulfilled, and so is that one. Oh, I told that to a psychology class one day. They about booed me out of the room. I says, a like attracts a like. Don't you know the cosmic law? A like attracts a like. Birds of a feather flock together. You fear something, fear not lest it come upon you. I says, you run around and you hold that in your mind, guess what's going to happen? Here it comes. You're afraid someone's going to steal from you, and you, or you go around and accept somebody that thinks that, you'll get affected by it. If you keep lowly company and you're in company with that person, then their vibrations will come over on you, and you'll be finding yourself going through those negative things. You can't keep a lowly company without having that come on you, because you have to say, I'm walking around not attached to this person. And really what you're doing is saying, I accept you and we're friends, and so whatever is your problem is my problem. If you don't know how to transmute those things and be stronger, you'll succumb to the other person's problem. See? So in sexual energies, what we're doing is we're merging together and sending our energies upwards to God. If you're practicing and you want supernatural powers, you can practice with your mate, or you can practice celibacy, which means every time the sexual urge comes, you contain yourself and you move it up the spine and you put your mind on God. You start studying the scriptures, you start doing your chant, you start blessing people, you send out healing energies, you do something of a spiritual nature. Now, if you have that kind of a drive behind you, boy, you would have so much spiritual power. Now you know how I got some of my powers. I had a drive, I'll tell you. I loved all the women. From 16 to 60. I left the older ones alone and the younger ones. See? I says, those were mine. Because when I was a little kid, I sat between two uncles and went, hey, look at that one. Ain't that a goat? Yeah, yeah, look at those bumps. Look at those humps. Yeah, sure like to get with that one. Blah, 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 blah. I'm a little kid going, I guess I have to be like them. That's what we do as little kids. We mimic those people around us. Another question. Pardon me. No, blindness from the truth. Oh. Blinded by the light. If you look too much at the reflection, like you're looking at the reflection of the sun in the atmosphere, it blinds us to the universe. That was the analogy. And if you start looking at something, all you'll see is reflections, and you'll be blinded to the superconscious. King Solomon, well, he was a subjective being, wasn't he? And so when he looked out there with his 400 wives and 700 concubines, he had a lot of them, didn't he? What he was doing is he was bringing tribes and families and people together. He was acting as a nucleus. the time for that kind of action and marrying the queen off to the other monarchs and all that kind of stuff and marrying the princes off and to make it all one family, we are one family. And it doesn't say take sexual energies to bind us together. But see, there was a time that was happening where we had an urge for more than one. But God is one. And to practice loving one is a God attribute. You see what I'm saying? There's only one God in whom we all live and move and have our being. All the rest of this is illusion. It's all appearances. All these separate little elements running out here is still part of the one. I mean, if you get you got lemon pie. You like lemon pie? How about chocolate? Do you like that better? Okay, chocolate pie. Some of them didn't like lemon. Okay. Here we have a chocolate pie, and we cut it into 8 pieces, but there is only one chocolate pie. And so we cut those 8 pieces in half. Now we got 16 pieces, but there still is only one chocolate pie. So we take every particle of chocolate apart from every other thing, and we separate all these particles and lay them out there, but there still would be only one pie. You see what I'm saying? There's only one God, even though you see all these different levels and all these experiences. There's only one you. You only have one soul made. One white fire body. And when you meet that, that's your other half. That's not some other person you're trying to get acquainted with. That's the other part of you. You are them and they are you, and this is realized and recognized. Then you really have a soulmate. Some people say, how will I realize my soulmate? That's how you realize them, you see. And so in sexuality, what we are seeking to do is, if we're practicing the power of the third eye, once you get it, you won't lose it. Are you ready to give up something to get something? You have to learn to sacrifice something for something else. You're whole. So you have to sacrifice your attention off of here and move over to here. Then you have to sacrifice your attention there to move over there. And total sacrifice is having everything. You see, it's not like earth sacrifice when you start losing things and everything's taken away. We're talking about heaven. It's different than earth. On earth, everything, if you try to cling to it, pretty soon it'll all weigh you down and bind you in some place. Well, you'll be, you know, building a wall around it and walking the wall with your gun. Nobody's going to come in my place and get my stuff, you see. And if you take and you start getting too possessed in all of the ramifications of relationships, you see, they were all his wife. They weren't other people's wives. He took complete responsibility for them and the raising of the children and the children's children and supported that kind of energy, you see, to bring a whole bunch of people together. Well, it worked for his time, but it didn't last, did it? So we learned something, didn't we? That's not the way to do it. So they don't do it that way now, do they? But they still did that up in the 1500s, 1700s, they take the cousin from one king and send her over to, from England to France. So they sent it over to Austria and sent them over to intermarry, so that they would all be one tribe. See, it was the longing to be in unity. That's what sexual energy is that longing to be in unity. And at least to get at least unity with one other person. To have an agreement of unity with one other individual. Who can you trust? Where else can you practice unity unless you have someone to practice it with? One other person or your family. Some have, you know, practice it in their family. They have family unity. Some practice it in a business and they have business unity, you see. But personal unity, you can have unity in these other things and not have a personal unity, you see. You can know things together and will things together and desire things together, when it comes right down to a physical touching and relationship of intercourse, then that's a different manifestation. And that's only the first step to the two becoming one. To have that mystical union and to merge in God, you see. It's okay if God watches while you're having experience? Or do you want him to participate too, or her to participate, or God to participate, that one in whom we all live and move and have our being? Are you saying, no, this is just for me. We're going to turn all the lights out so nobody can see. You know? Some do that and they separate. So there's nothing wrong with sexual energies. But I'm telling you, if you want the power of your third eye, you better control that energy. I'm saying control. I'm not saying destroy. I'm saying control. I'm not saying get bound up in it. I'm saying take masterfully control of your senses, your sensations, and your sexuality. And if they are taking too much of your energy, then you use them to go to God and you balance your energy out. And when you're having a relationship, you have the relationship. You don't walk around in reflections of your mind, in pretense and imaginations and fantasies and all of that. You're in the relationship when you're in it. You don't walk around thinking about it all the time. And some people do that. I mean, you know. I watch them. They're naked in their mind.
Yes. Run that energy to your third eye.
You take it in, squeeze your buttocks together, start feeling that energy there, and then you start rising it up the spine, rising it up the spine. You'll feel it. It's a warmth in the body or a little tingle in the body or like electricity in the body. It might be just a little breath in the body, just like something breathing there, or just a feeling of a movement, and up it will go, and then when it hits your head, it changes color. So it goes from that red into a beautiful purple and violet hues. And you can see it on your inner screen, and it'll be whirling in the within the inner screen, you see. That's raising it up into freedom and unity, you see. And so you're practicing that. Some practice what's called Dionism. The man goes just as far till he almost climaxes, and he stops and reabsorbs his semen and sends it into the nervous system and into the body and up the spine, rather than drops his seeds. So that's another practice of sending up the energy. Any other questions? Yes?
In doing open eye gazes, the different bright colors, like up your shirt, the orange chair, the polarity shift of color becomes very evident. Does that interfere with seeing auras, or is that a step for what?
We'll talk about that shift this afternoon. It's in the subjects this afternoon. Any other questions? Okay, we'll take our lunch to continue with the opening of the third eye, the rainbow eye. And we're going to talk about the rainbow, a little bit about the colors and that. First color on there is red, and then there's orange, and now we put some yellow. Green, so we don't have to worry about it. The green is already there, isn't it? In some of us, I mean, it's the most of it. Well, all of us, I guess that's the truth, isn't it? Green is already there, so then we do the blue, we have red and orange and yellow and green and blue and violet. So let's just put these on here. This color wheel has a lot of meaning. It's not just a color wheel. One thing, this wheel is in the spleen chakra. For one, it's manifest there so that you have all the vitalities of all the planes. He could say the colors are the vitalities of the planes of light. And so in your emotional structure, it is these vitalities that give vitalities to the other levels of the body. And so there must be a balance, a polarity balance, within the structure of the rainbow, and understand the opposite polarities. Because polarities are how we move, by shifting directions and attentions. We lift the right foot, and then we lift the left foot, and then we lift the right foot, then we lift the left foot. Someone has a squeaky tape recorder. Squeak. Yeah, I think it's this one. Yes. There you go. And as we take these steps, it's like walking over the rainbow bridge. We're in one polarity, then we're in another polarity, we're in another polarity. But when we take these steps, we don't always reverse completely the polarity. Now, there are three basic rays. You need to take your tape out and turn it over, or get another, wind it a little bit, or put another tape in. Blue. Blue comes out of the white light. So the basis of blue is white. So we have this white light. Now, white is not called a color. It's the source of all colors. And out of that blue and into that white is a play of purity and truth. Blue represents the spirit, the spiritual energies. And the spirit is free, and that's the truth, is free. The truth will set you free. Yellow is the second ray of that energy. And this yellow represents the mental strata. And so out of ideation, which had all possibility, we have the mind, a formation, a place to hold form, a filament within which form is manifest. And all the form that is in this manifestation is under law. Now, the truth is a power, and the law is a discipline of the power. Otherwise, the power would flow all over the place. So the law says, if you do this and this and this and this, you will have this kind of a result. And so you must realize that in order for anything to come into manifestation, it must have a form to move upon, a word. And so some say the blue was the spirit hovering and the word was the light that went forward. In this yellow field, we have the mind. And in the blue field, we have the spirit. And in the red field, we have the solid. We have the
physical and material universe. So you have this blue, which has all possibilities, funneling down through this yellow ray, not making it narrower, but only dropping in polarity. The blue is spinning faster, and a different polarity is used in the yellow. And it is capturing form, so it cannot spin as fast or as free as the blue. It is form that has fixed energies, systems. And these systems, these laws, tell us how we can use the principles and the powers and the ideations of the blue. So the law is like the way shower that shows us how to go there. And the physical carries out what the law says. The law says that this particular object is such and such, then on the physical, we're to carry that out. Now the spirit should be able to come through the law and work with what is created. But what happens is, this spirit starts to get bound within the yellow field and tries to manipulate instead of cooperate with the fixed. The red is fixed. The red is fixed. The yellow is more pliable, and the spirit is more free. So the more you are towards the red, the less freedom. The more towards the blue, the more freedom. The mind has a balance between this fixed and unfixed plane is the mind. It is the mind that can let this spirit come into matter or take the matter into spirit. The mind can be a doorway between these two areas of consciousness. But when it is fixed on patterns and systems and forms, then the doorway is closed. You are this pureness here, experiencing spiritually, mentally, and physically. Spiritually, mentally, and physically. There is an interplay between the mind and the spiritual level. It is green. This is green. This green brings the energy between these two fields. This freedom that has been associating with this pliable substance mind has gained experiences. And this is the psychic field that is created by the interplay of the spirit and mind. And so as the spirit and mind have their interplay, the psychic field is created here, giving off another ray of energy. It blends. Each give up their identity to merge at another place. And this is also the power of merging. This merging is merging with knowledge and experience. At this pure level up here, you are merged with all, in all, as all. But in this level, we are merging only with experiences by knowledge and by free will choice. Free will at the blue and choice in the yellow. If you're just making choices, you're below the line. If you're just acting out of free will, you're over the line. But if you make free will choices, you are moving from the blend of these two. Mind and spirit are blend. So a healing takes place in your consciousness, a balance of energy. You now have 2/3 power. Mental, which is fixed, you learn how to control. You learn how to control it by flowing with the law. You find out what the law is and you invoke it. What is the law of that? Now there's a law for everything. There's good and bad laws, and there are indifferent laws. Some that work one way and some that work another way. So you have this duality of the law, and you have free will choice to put your spirit into whatever law that you want to experience. Now, if you just want to work out of free will, you can go up here in this blue and just surrender your soul to God if you wish. You see? The more closer this blue and green get together, the more turquoise one way or another. So you have a turquoise field coming out of here, hierarchical guidance. I'm putting the hierarchical guidance over my mental guidance. It has the monopoly. It has 80% and my mental guidance only has 20%, or it has 60% and my mental guidance only has 40%. Or somewhere over the line there, you are taking hierarchical guidance. You are taking guidance from your hierarchical in this turquoise. Or you're in a chartreuse, which is bringing the soul down towards mind. You see the spectrum. So now you're beginning to see the interplay of colors playing within the colors that give you the different spectrums of color. And it show where you are flowing on this chart in your consciousness. It's okay to be any place, but to get bound there, they say you can go anywhere, but don't get caught. You know that one, right? So you can go any place as long as you don't get bound there. All of these are good places and have their purpose, and they're all positive and they're all negative. They're positive if you are in conscious control and dominion of yourself and self-mastered. But when these things take control of you, then you are not self-mastered or self-controlled. Self-control is a perfect balance between the mind and spirit, and comes in the green ray. Self-control of poise and balance in my soul. You see what I'm saying? Now we have a play between the mind and matter. And this is the orange. I have another teacher speaking to them. I hear it. Poison. I thought it was down from the poison. Orange. Orange is the emoting, the movement of this mind, which holds all things in form. It's the movement of this mind towards matter and matter's response back to the mind. It's the play between mind and matter. And that is joy. Here's the love made manifest, and here's the joy, and here's the mind, and here's the heart, the soul, and here's the spirit, and here's the self experiencing through all of those rays. Here's the physical, emotional, mental, psychic, creative. And what happened to the individual? Aha! Now we come to another point of consciousness. When the mind is still, listen to this one. When there is no form to bind the spirit, it comes into spontaneous action. Ceremonial magic. Individuality. Freedom. Freedom from any forms that are held in the mind. The alchemist. Violet fire. Spirit into matter and matter into spirit. The power of the violet flame. Blaze, violet fire, blaze. To join this physiological state and this spiritual state together. To have the faith and creativity in direct action upon the plane, not fixed by the mind. An open mind. An open mind. To let this movement flow back and forth. So there must be a place in the mind that is clear. There has to be a place in the mind that is clear so that this spirit can come in to matter. I'll give you a copy of this. The joy is the play between the mind and matter. That's where the joy is expressed. Not when the mind is remote and walking through matter in a disconnected association, but when the balance, the polarity balance between the physical and the mental body is the emotion. The polarity balance between your physical body and your mental body is emotions. And the polarity balance between the mind and spirit is the soul. And the polarity balance between spirit and matter is this individuality, God expressing directly. Faith in action, truth in action, with a clear, quiet mind and an open heart. A clear and quiet mind and the heart open so that this energy can come down, expressing joy and love. Wow. I'm really getting excited here. I feel like I'm walking all over the rainbow. Well, let me tell you the next step. I mean, you're greater than just this individuality. You have associations with others. So if you take this power at the blue, you take the I and the I goes down here, the I goes, indigo, just pulling around, indigo, in you go. Because this is a unity, an equal portion of the blue, an equal portion of the yellow, and an equal portion of the red. One third of each. That is the polarity balance of all three rays, and this is unity. This is mercy and compassion. This is oneness with the world. This indigo is universal consciousness, cosmic consciousness, seeing the big picture and the little specks of light within the big picture. The little radiant beings within the whole picture of humanity, little speckling lights. And in your body, each level of your body, little speckling lights. You see? The unity, the balance between your physiological state, your psychological state, and your spiritual state. Now, some are just trying to work here. So they're just trying to keep them happy. Now, look at this color. When it gets between the yellow and the orange, you have the saffron robe. And you have this beautiful fire orange in between the physical and the matter. This fire orange has overtones of corals. Can you see them now? How they go in that direction. And it brings your joy within matter. And this brings your joy within mind when you go up into the saffron robe. The joy and the mind are one. The emotions of the mind are one at this point. Just as the physical and emotional are one in this movement between the red and the orange. Just as the mind and soul are one in this beautiful chartreuse. And just as the turquoise is one in this spirit and soul. Look at this play of colors. And then you have violet hues to the blue. And rose hues here, rose. You see how the love flows? And the and the freedom of creativity here in the violet blue. So there is a blending of consciousness, and within each one of these is a spectrum going out, going out, going out. And there's also red greens and yellow turquoise and golden rubies and other firelights in combination and mother of pearl with this beautiful white with all of its colors speckling within it. Mother over all the little pearls of light, you see. So you have this power of the rainbow. And the more variations in the colors you can see, the more you can take a little slice out and look at it. Because that's what you're doing. You're taking a little slice of this spectrum pie, and you are looking at it. We take these colors at stop points of vibration. But they are one continuous vibration from the least to the greatest. And there is only one light. And it's only one color, and it has all the other colors within it. Boy, does that open up the rainbow eye. And every little one that you can take, every slice that you can take, you get that deeper perception. Color gives depth. Color gives depth. Color gives depth by refinement. You get down in the refining of the degrees between this red and the rose and the violet. There's a lot of degrees of those colors in there, from having a mixture of so many components of the rose and so many components of the violet, and it moves. Here's the love of spirit, that rose-colored violet. Love of spirit. Rose-violet. Love of spirit and love of the earth. A beautiful love, depending on where you're at. More rose-reds are more the earth-orientated. Rose-violets are the spiritually orientated. You see, there is a lower and higher movement in these colors. It depends on where you want to go, how you vibrate. And you go where you want to go by saying, I am that I am. Om. Tit sit om. I am that I am. I am that I am. Am that I am. I am. Calling forth the all-pervading oneness into manifestation in its play of consciousness in that oneness. Om. Tit sit om. And you, by identification, by saying I am that, are choosing your colors. And wherever you pay attention, by fixing and identifying, that is the color you will manifest from. Wherever you pay attention, fix and identify. Attention, fix, identify. Whenever you pay attention, you fix and identify, that is what you become. Some of you put your mind on being ministers. And now look what you have become. Ministers. Unfolding and unfolding and unfolding until you close the bloom. Till you say, I'm not that any longer. Some of you are something else until you stop saying it. And as soon as you stop identifying with it, it slips away and goes back to its like kind. So if you just let go of it, it'll go where it belongs. You don't have to put it anywhere. You can just let it go. You can just let it go. One time I was studying, and I was sitting before a teacher. His name was Maharishi Mahesh. And someone gave him this big bouquet of roses. And as he got up, as he was walking, the roses were falling, one at a time. He wasn't paying any attention. He was talking, and finally he dropped all the roses. People were scurrying, picking up those roses. Then I said, why did you let the roses fall? Detachment. A master can tell you everything in one word. In one word, I said, now I know. Because behind the word was consciousness. And the word only led us into consciousness. And the words of these colors only lead us into that consciousness. And by our words, we are identifying, we are qualifying the logos. This freedom of individual self. We are making our picture on all possibility, and we're drawing out of the rays, the substance of the rays, to manifest with. Are you getting this? I mean, some people think, you know, you got it in a bottle and you pour the bottles together. Yeah, I know people do that. They dye things and they go out and they search all through and get the right color of dyes and stuff in the forest, and they come and they make their little dyes and stuff, and they dye perfumes and they dye potions and they dye powders, and then they say these things have power because they paid so much attention to them. No wonder they have some power. They just gave their life into that. Whatever you pay attention, you are giving life to. And some people worship their own life reflections back out of objects. Potions and powders and jewels and sacred trees and sacred lands and waters and... Are you seeing what I'm saying? I'm talking about freedom. I hope I'm not frightening anyone. I hope I'm changing some minds, because you have direct access, and all these things are only reflections of those things. The physical cannot give you spiritual power. It's only the end result of what started in spirit. And that's the end result. And now you have recreation. It says, the law is there. I didn't come to destroy the law. I come to live the law. I'm going to flow right into this matter, and I'm going to experience matter, and I'm going to flow with matter. Violet fire. Violet fire. I'm going to flow with that matter. I'm going to be free. And I'll touch into that matter. I'll be conscious wherever I am. Present consciousness. Do you hear that? You're present where you're at. That's where the power is. Not in the things you left back in your room and little bags and bottles. And my God, I'll never be saved. I forgot my corn, said the Indian. Said the people that have put a lot of faith in